Multiverse, Book 1, The Infinite Universe Crisis. Written by Neo Reality Ent. A crossover story featuring the fandoms of Kingdom Hearts, Avatar The Last Airbender, Dragon Ball, Naruto, Star Wars, and Red vs. Blue. Summary. The original Earth has fallen. The Neo Showalter Junta begins the next phase in their plan to begin the conquest of the multiverse. The last vestige of humanity's legacy. Earth has fallen. After a 5-year conflict with the hostile force calling themselves the Junta, 95% of the human race had been wiped out in the conflict, being led by one of their own in his attempt to begin purifying the world for the utopia he envisions creating. After several weeks of recovery following the final battle at the Atlantic Ocean, which resulted in the destruction of the last formidable resistance of humanity, leaving pockets of resistance on mainland, the Junta set about the next phase in their ambitious plan, the conquest of the multiverse, the final legacy of humanity. Ba Sing Se was known as the impenetrable city of the Earth Kingdom. It was the size of a small country, a vast metropolis that had recently been liberated from the Fire Nation. Team Avatar was celebrating their victory in ending the 100-year war, with the culmination of Aang and Katara cementing their love for each other in a kiss. That was the end of the story, and the book would close. At least in one universe. In another, the metropolis was under siege. Just moments after when Katara and Aang made their kiss, a massive ship had suddenly appeared out of nowhere, and a massacre had begun. The strange, hostile force was equipped with strange technologies that not even the Fire Nation could ever match. Weaponry that burned into the armor and flesh of the Benders who, while they were able to provide some form of resistance, were quickly snuffed out by the infinite number of this hostile race, and the tactical advantage it had over them. Now, the Earth Kingdom Royal Palace was littered with bodies of the Earthbenders, Earth Kingdom generals, and Kyoshi warriors, with a majority of Team Avatar being spread out, injured. The Earth King, Kuei, was wounded, with a pierced energy blade sticking out where his kidney would be. It was hard to tell if he would be able to survive, if the blade isn't removed. Iroh was lying on the ground, pain etched on his face as numbness had taken over his body from the injuries he had received in the battle. All the while, a dark-robed individual, who was humanoid but squid-like, was walking among the bodies of the Earth Kingdom military, addressing the dead, injured, and dying. "Hear me and rejoice. You had the privilege of being saved by the Great Lord. You may think this is suffering. No, it is salvation. The multiversal scales tipped towards utopia because of your sacrifice. Smile, for in death you find true redemption and become children of Showalter." While this individual was preaching, a hulking figure wearing heavy armor with a golden headpiece that covered his whole head was stabbing some of the still-living Benders who were still attempting to get back into the fight, albeit weakly. With a curved blade on the underside of its strange weapon that had unleashed grenades upon the opposing force during the battle. Fire Lord Zuko stood, cuts and bruises on his face, and his Jasmine Dragon outfit burnt and torn up, glaring at the shadowy figure that stood outside the gates, watching his ship before he slowly began to turn, holding Avatar Aang by his outfit, speaking, his voice calm and collected. "They thought their continent was the only one. They were wrong. They thought their world was the only world. And once again, they were wrong. They thought our universe was the only universe, and once again, they were mistaken. The figure stepped out of the shadows. His skin color was a mixture of black and Caucasian. His black hair was shaved down to his skull. He was wearing solid, black, high-tech armor with gray trim, which had been equipped with belt holsters that contained a metallic black and silver trim hilt. Along with the armor was a black cape. He dragged forward Avatar Aang, who looked bloodied but alive.
"Does what they don't understand frighten them? They'll dread it, run from it. Destiny arrives all the same. And now it's here. Or should I say, I am."
Lord Eric clenched his free, black-gloved fist as a glow emitted from it. Aang breathed heavily as Lord Eric removed his grip on his clothing and instead settled his grip on the back of his head and spoke up.
"The delusions of grandeur," he coughed, "will bring only pain in the end for you."
Lord Eric ignored him as he looked towards Zuko.
"The key to the prison of the deposed Phoenix King, Ozai, or the Avatar's life. I'm sure you have a preference."
Zuko didn't answer, just glared with an intense flame in his eye as thoughts raced through his head about how this person knew about all this. Eric frowned.
"Fine, I'll go with your old preference."
Eric conjured a knife and slowly and painfully began applying it to the side of Aang's head, resulting in a scream of agonizing pain as blood began pouring out of the resulting torture, drenching the knife and hand. The blade went deep enough it started to prick into the surface of his skull, the only thing that was keeping it from reaching his brain. Zuko's mind came back from his inner thoughts when he heard Aang's scream of pain.
"All right, stop!" he ordered.
Lord Eric complied, pulling the knife from Aang's head, though no doubt leaving a scar after it healed. Aang's gasps began to come in, shallow and rapid as he choked out.
"Zuko wouldn't visit his father so soon, not after everything he's done."
Zuko lowered his head in shame when he pulled out the key that would unlock his father's cell from the ruined outfit. Eric smiled while Aang's eyes shot open wide upon seeing it, and asked,
"Zuko, why?"
Zuko stepped closer to Eric and Aang.
"I wanted to know what happened to my mother. I believed he knew where she was."
"Your faith was misplaced, Fire Lord. Plus, I'm sure Mai wouldn't have liked that," Eric said curtly.
"Leave her out of this," Zuko seethed hotly.
"You would have gone back to him for advice had I not interfered, and your precious person would have left you," Eric said.
Zuko's eyes widened. How would he know such a thing? His eyes narrowed.
"I won't ask how you know that, but rest assured you won't win this," Zuko spoke, voice full of determination.
Lord Eric almost wanted to laugh, but he had a feeling where this was going, so he decided to play along.
"I have an army,"
Zuko countered.
"And we have the greatest earthbender."
Suddenly, Lord Eric became encased in rocks, dropping Aang to the ground when the walls of rock cut off his grip on the Avatar. Toph showed up, smirking at the successful distraction, though her face became confused seeing Eric, not surprised by what had just happened.
Lord Eric remained nonchalant about everything. Before, to everyone's horror, he broke the pillars of rock that encased him up to the neck, sending the debris showering down around him. "I'm not one to be violent towards women, only acting in self-defense. Or in war, being given no choice. But I have no time for a fight."
Eric snapped his fingers, prompting the hulking armored individual to remove his blood-coated blade from another of his victims.
"Agent Main, take care of her," he ordered coldly.
Agent Main, once known as the Meta, placed his brute shot over his magnetic holster on the back of his armor, growled as he charged toward this female earthbender who summoned more pillars of earth, which resulted in Main plowing right through them,
though it was enough to slow him down, giving Toph enough time to earthbend herself away from him before he could grab her. Toph, with a proper distance, summoned some boulders from the ground and shoved them towards Agent Main, who, with his enhanced strength, shattered them with his armored fists, though one managed to strike his head, shattering his EVA helmet, revealing his face. Zuko gasped, seeing the damaged face of Main. Part of the skin looked severely burnt, much like his scar, but some of the flesh seemed so burnt off that part of the right side of his teeth and gums were visible. Main turned his head towards Toph, who couldn't see the scarred face due to her blindness, but was able to detect his feet moving into a battle stance. Toph's fists curled up, the knuckles popping as she planned her next move. Unfortunately, she was unable to prepare, when Main suddenly moved so fast that Toph couldn't react, when she found herself slammed into the wall, being held by the throat. Agent Main slammed his fist into Toph's stomach, before launching another strike to her head. He hoisted her up over his head, and held his free hand over her right leg to keep her there before slamming her down to the ground with a vicious thud. Zuko was about to assist Toph, realizing the danger she was now in, but Eric grabbed him by the wrist and took the key from him, before hurling him back with a forearm into one of the palace pillars with all his strength. Sokka, getting a second wind, slammed his club on the neck of Agent Main, but it had no effect on him. All it served was to break the club in half. Agent Main turned to Sokka, who was starting to sweat and stammer out that they could be friends, realizing he was in danger. Agent Main's helmet, which had been destroyed in his fight with Toph, suddenly began reforming around his scarred head. Main launched a kick at Sokka, launching him backwards into a crater that had formed during the battle. In the spirit world, Avatar Roku, the Avatar before Aang, could tell the situation was grim, but could sense that this strange attack had caused an anomaly. He could sense a tear in the fabric of reality from this invasion. When he attempted to meditate to see what lay beyond this tear, he saw various images, various worlds that were filled with heroes and villains alike. The past avatars appeared before Roku, knowing what needed to be done. Their eyes glowed in harmonious symphony, channeling their spiritual energy. In the Earth Kingdom Royal Palace, those that remained and the invading force noticed the wounded avatar begin to go into the avatar state. Team Avatar and the remaining Earth Kingdom forces believed that the tide was going to turn for them. But everyone sank into horror and despair when they noticed Aang, still in his wounded state and unconscious from the amount of pain he was in, beginning to levitate. A faint, bluish glow surrounded him and, without warning, shot him out of the palace, passing through the dark-robed individual who attempted to bisect him with an ignited red blade, and going through the war-torn city. After the briefest moments of silence, when Lord Eric stared at where Aang was going, he turned back towards everyone, noticing Katara's eyes widening when they made eye contact. Walking towards her, kneeling and asking, "Didn't expect that, did you? Rest assured, your boyfriend didn't leave of his own volition. The spirits have denied me the right to end him today. But I will find him." Eric stood, turning to Main and the speaker, who had deactivated his blade, and ordered, "Main, Rukar, I need you both for an assignment. Me and my assistant will be heading to Ozai's prison to round up another ally for the Junta."
"What is thy bidding, m'lord?"
Ruger asked. "Your mission is to head towards the Fire Nation Mental Health Facility and collect Azula. She may be of use to us," Lord Eric explained. Ruger, however, had to ask,
"My lord, what need would we have of an unstable individual? According to the logs, she is not in her right frame of mind."
Lord Eric remained undeterred. "I believe your force abilities may be able to calm her mind. and I believe our medicine will be able to provide her mind the necessary recovery it needs. Once then, she will be of use to us."
Ruger and Mane bowed, and the three of them turned to walk out before suddenly a fire blast struck Lord Eric's back. Luckily, his armor shields protected him, though he stumbled from the impact. Lord Eric looked over his shoulder to see Iroh, who was still on the ground but his hand was extended, showing he was responsible for the attack. Eric looked back to Mane and extended his hand. Mane, knowing what he was asking, unholstered his brute shot and handed it to him. Eric grabbed a hold of it and thanked him. He turned and began to slowly walk towards Iroh, who could barely move anymore due to the numbness. Lord Eric used a foot to kick Iroh over, so he was laying face up, staring at Eric. Lord Eric tilted his head.
"You're not one to make rash decisions, because that was a mistake."
Ruger saw Zuko running towards Eric, his fist encased in fire, for a strike. So he used the force to trap him with the debris made from the conflict, so that only his head was visible. Lord Eric was ignoring the events that played out, and plunged the brute-shot blade down into Iroh's chest. Zuko's eyes widened as he screamed in anguish.
"No!"
Iroh gritted his teeth as he felt the fatal pain shoot through him. Eventually, his hand, which had been lifted in reaction to the stabbing, lay back down, his eyes devoid of life. Lord Eric ripped the brute shot out of Iroh's chest and handed it back to Mane. Zuko, heavily breathing in rage, seethed.
"You're going," he breathed out, "to pay for that!"
Ruger moved his hand, which resulted in more rocks clamping around Zuko's mouth. He then placed a finger to his lips and hushed. "Shoo." In another universe, a mysterious tower was lit in the night as a bright star began to head towards the tower. Inside the tower, a mouse with rather big ears was speaking with a silver-haired teen and a wise wizard when, suddenly, the star crashed into the roof of the tower, alerting everyone, believing it to be an attack. Master Yen Sid, King Mickey, and Riku headed to the small crater, which, when the smoke dissipated, revealed Aang to be in the center of it. Gasping for breath as he breathed out,
"Eric is coming."
Yen Sid, Mickey, and Riku looked at each other, before Riku looked back and asked, "Who?"